Ezekiel chapter number 24, we're going to read the last part of this chapter, and quite honestly, I don't understand all this, and this is what we're going to talk about, because we don't understand God. But Ezekiel chapter 24, we're going to start in verse number 15, Ezekiel 24 verse 15, Bible says, "Also the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, behold, I take away from thee the desire of thine eyes with a stroke. Yet neither shalt thou mourn nor weep, neither shall thy tears run down. Forbear to cry, make no mourning for the dead. Bind the tire of thine head upon thee, and put on the shoes upon thy feet, and cover not thy lips, and eat not the bread of men." So I spake unto the people in the morning, and at even my wife died. And I did in the morning as I was commanded. And the people said unto me, "Wilt thou not tell us what these things are to us, that thou doest so?" Then I answered them, "The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Speak unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will profane my sanctuary, the excellency of your strength, the desire of your eyes, and that which your soul pitieth, and your sons and your daughters whom ye have left shall fall by the sword. And ye shall do as I have done, ye shall not cover your lips, nor eat the bread of men. And your tires shall be upon your heads, and your shoes upon your feet, ye shall not mourn nor weep. But ye shall pine away for your iniquities and mourn one toward another. Thus Ezekiel is unto you a sign. According to all that he hath done shall ye do, and when this cometh, ye shall know that I am the Lord God. Also thou son of man, shall it not be in the day when I take from them their strength, the joy of their glory, the desire of their eyes, and that whereupon they set their minds, their sons and their daughters, that he that escapeth in that day shall come unto thee, to cause thee to hear it with thine ears. In that day shall thy mouth be open to him which is escaped, and thou shalt speak, and be no more dumb. And thou shalt be a sign unto them, and they shall know that I am the Lord." Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. Thank you for another beautiful day that you've given us. Thank you for the safety that you give the buses on the way here this morning, and all those that drove in, I do thank you for that. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Lord, as we look into this morning, honestly, it's kind of beyond our comprehension. But Lord, I pray that you would help us maybe be able to take a few truths out of this. Lord, this is nothing new to the folks in this room. Lord, we've many seasoned Christians. But Lord, it's just a reminder that about you and your greatness and your purpose in our lives. God, I thank you for all that you do, and for me, for my family, and for our church and our church family. Thank you for our preacher. Help him later as he preaches. Help the Sunday school teachers as they teach this morning. Pray that you just fill them with your power. Help them to be used by you. Help me to be used this morning, Lord. I pray that I would get out of the way and let you just work and work on people's hearts if necessary. In Jesus' name, amen. Quite honestly, I don't understand Ezekiel chapter 12, the last part of this. This is one of those things, I think most of you, there's those times in life when you're like, why did this happen? Okay, and that happens to all of us. It may not be a very personal, like, why did this happen to us, or why did this happen to me? But there are times in life, it's like, why am I going through this? Okay, and I do not understand why God made Ezekiel to go through this. There's several things, and we haven't honestly looked at a lot of them. There's several things that God has asked Ezekiel to do that, quite frankly, we don't understand. You go back, there was a time when God asked Ezekiel, I believe, to lay on his side for a certain amount of time. And it's like, you know, why do you do that? God asked Ezekiel, you know how God has asked people, you know, sometimes people say, well, God wanted me to move, okay? And God wanted me to move from this location to this location. Well, God asked Ezekiel to move one time. I think it was in chapter number 12. God asked Ezekiel to move, but it was kind of an odd way that he moved. He had to take all of his stuff, and he had to pack all of his stuff up, and he had to dig a hole through the wall and leave at certain times of the day and take all of his stuff with him. And it's kind of like, man, you know, why did God ask him to do that? But this is probably the one of all the things that where Ezekiel was made a sign to Israel, this is probably the one I think that would be the hardest to accept. It'd be the hardest to take in as far as God. Why? You know, because there is no good reason, from the human standpoint, that God's about ready to kill his wife. There is no good reason. I mean, it's not like, you know, she was, you know, I don't see in the Bible that she was, in fact, this is one of the only mentions of Ezekiel's wife. And I don't find that in the Bible, you know, think of all the stuff that she's already gone through, okay? And she's still stuck by his side. Okay, I don't know what kind of woman she was, but for her to stick by the side of Ezekiel through all the things that he's preached up to this point, I mean, I think she's probably a pretty good lady. And the Bible says, verse number 16, we see what Ezekiel thought of her. Son of man, behold, I take away from thee the desire of thine eyes. The desire of thine eyes. That's, you know, the apple of his eye. That's what his wife was. He cherished her. He loved her. And God said, I'm going to take that away from you. Okay? And there's a lot of things in life from a human perspective, it doesn't make sense. Okay? And I'm going to mention several things. And you know, all of us, I think, at some point, and probably in the back of your mind, there's some things that are already coming up that's like, God, this doesn't make sense. Honestly, we could say, we could play the blame game and say, God, that's not fair. Okay? And we want to talk about this morning. So God has told Ezekiel that his wife is going to die. The thing that's unique about this, probably, not only is his wife going to die, but Ezekiel is not allowed to mourn for his wife. Now, that's the unique thing. Now, is there still a mourning process that I think Ezekiel is going through? There has to be. He lost his wife. Okay? But publicly and in the custom of the day, Ezekiel was not allowed to mourn for his wife. He wasn't allowed to shed tears. Now, I don't know. I don't know, you know, when Ezekiel was home by himself, you know, I think if he really loved his wife, I think there'd be times where he was shedding tears. But in a public, you know, the death of somebody, they would make a big deal about it. There's a mourning process. We see a few things. Verse number 17, we see a few things that are mentioned here. Forbear to cry, make no mourning for the dead. Bind the tire of thine head upon thee, and put on thy shoes upon thy feet, and cover not thy lips, and eat not the bread of men. So there's some things here. They would, you know, they would change their attire based on, because of the mourning process. They'd go for a period of time without talking. They would go for a period of time without eating. And God told Ezekiel, you have to do all these things. I still want you to do these things. I still want you to talk. I don't want you to cry. Okay? You look the same, just like nothing has ever happened. All right? Well, what was this, Brother Chad? This was a sign to the Israelites that one day they would lose that which was most precious to them. Okay? God was using this as a sign to the Israelites. You're going to lose that which is most precious to you. Okay? And what was this? It was a tabernacle, their sons, their daughters. It would be in this time that they would escape, that they which would escape would remember what Ezekiel had done, and they would remember God. All right? So, it gives you kind of basically what has happened here. So, we're going to go into this, and I want to help us, and I think this is something all of us you've all experienced it, and if you haven't, you're going to. It happens to everybody. Or you can think in the mind of the situation of somebody else where this has happened in their life. And ultimately, Brother Chad, do you understand? No. You never do. But we have to understand, let me word this right, you have to understand that you don't understand. All right? Now that doesn't make sense, but you have to understand that you don't understand. All right? And let me go through this, and we'll go through the scriptures together this morning. So first of all, I'm going to say this. We do not understand the mind of God. We do not understand the mind of God. All right? Psalms chapter 92, verse number 5. The Bible says, O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. Isaiah chapter number 55, verse 8 and 9. It says, For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Brother Chad, why do things like this happen? Okay, well, you have to understand that, you know, we don't think like God, right? Okay, my thoughts, I have no clue what God is thinking right now. I hope he's pleased with what's going on here today, okay? Now, and we try to find the mind of God as far as what God wants us to do, but as far as the whole workings of mankind, we don't understand, and you don't understand, and I don't understand the workings that God has with man, okay? We don't understand those things. We know what God has given us from the Word of God. That's all we know, okay? We don't know the future. We don't know why things have happened in the past, okay? One of the problems that we have is that we try to be God. Now, I want you to listen to me. We try to be God. Christians, mankind, let's just say mankind, they try to be God. All right? That's the, what is the biggest humanism? What is humanism? Humanism is basically where man is trying to be their own God. Okay? That's basically what it is when in a nutshell. So man is always trying to be God. They want to comprehend the facets of what is going on in their life. When honestly, yes, we have a free choice, we have a free will, we have a choice, and there are decisions that we make, and because of those decisions, there are consequences that come as a result of those decisions, whether good or bad. Okay? But who orchestrates all that? I don't. I could go out here today, and I took my wife to Ohio Thursday night, drove back Thursday night, and she's over there for a ladies' conference. I got to go back this afternoon and pick my wife up. I could be killed this afternoon very easily. I mean, I'm on an I-70. It's like the most dangerous road in the United States of America, I think. All right? I could. Would it be because of my own fault? Not necessarily. Well, that wouldn't be fair. That wouldn't be fair to your wife. That wouldn't be fair to your kids. Okay, well, hang on. Who orchestrates everything? Who orchestrates the fact of what time you leave to get on the road? You know, sometimes we get so frustrated because we're running, you know, and I think you should be, you know, I think you should be early for things. But sometimes things happen. You know what I mean? And sometimes, you know, your car breaks down or whatever, and we get so frustrated because things aren't going our way. Well, maybe God has orchestrated all that because he knows there's something. If you had your way, something would happen, okay? Now, we don't understand the mind of God. One of the problems that we have is that we try to be God. What do you mean by this? It's we want to bring the actions of God down to our human comprehension, all right? If it doesn't make sense from a human perspective, then most people think God was wrong. Now, hang on to that, because that's very true. Most of the time if it doesn't make sense from what I can see, then most people think that God's wrong. That's the truth of the matter. That's the truth of the matter with a lot of Christians. Well, I don't think this is fair. God, you're wrong on this. Why do people get mad at God? Because they're trying to be God. They're not trusting God that God's orchestrating things. They're just trying to be God. God is not wrong, nor ever will be wrong. God is not wrong, nor ever will be wrong. Why does a good person go through bad things? Why does a good family go through bad things? I don't understand why Isaac and Laura had a son that has a heart defect. Well, God, that's not fair. They're faithful to church. They serve God. They love God. They've got a good family. Why does that have to happen to them? I don't understand that, okay? And people can either get mad at God or they can accept the workings of God and go forward. And we're going to see there's a reason God allows us to go through these things, okay? Don Davis's family, they just lost their son last year. He was 3, I think. I may be wrong on that. He suffocated, rolled a window up on his neck and suffocated. That's not fair to that family. And if we try to understand it from a human perspective, it's not going to make sense and you're going to get mad at God. But what do you have to do? You have to accept it. Why did Ezekiel lose his wife? Well, we're going to see here why Ezekiel lost his wife. okay? And it's all in the matter how you handle it, how we handle it personally. Why are good Christians diagnosed with cancer? It's happened in our church several times. Folks that should be sitting here today, the same age as everybody else in here, should be sitting here today, have died years ago because of cancer. God, that's not fair. Look at what they could have done with their life that they had left. I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense. Okay? Why do young people die? I just mentioned Don's nephew. Why does a young person have to die? They got their whole life. I mean, you go to a cemetery, and there's a lot of young people. Okay? Why must some young people grow up in the home situations that they must? Well, think about this. You know, I know it's by the grace of God. By the grace of God, I've grown up where I've grown up. Only by the grace of God. When you get mad at some of the young people, just remember the grace of God. Some of the young people that come in that aren't really what you should. You know, you could be, but by the grace of God, Brother Unger could be preaching to me in some juvenile detention center. A couple choices, and honestly, remember, a lot of these are choices that have been made, okay? A couple choices by my dad versus a couple choices by another young man's dad has completely changed our whole family, okay? And has completely changed that young man's family. So don't discount the choices that you make. But still, why do I get to grow up in the United States of America? That wasn't my choice. That wasn't my dad's choice. Versus growing up in, you know, some third world country. I don't understand that. I'm grateful for it. Okay? I'm grateful for the grace of God. But I don't understand that. Why aren't they given the same opportunities I'm given? Okay? Why would God take the wife of Ezekiel? Why did God take everything Job had? Everything Job had. Why did God do that? I don't know. I don't know. Brother Chad, you're supposed to tell us why. Well, if we try to understand it, okay, we're trying to bring God down to our level. God's ways are, what did Isaiah say? My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. Okay? We don't understand it. And you have to understand that you don't understand. But there are some truths out of Ezekiel that we're going to look at that I believe that God shows us that we need to, helps us accept it. You don't understand it, but you can accept it. Okay? Let me ask you this. Could Job see what was going on in heaven? Did Job know the dialogue between Satan and God at that day? No. Job just got up and he made sacrifices for his children. He served God. But Job didn't know the dialogue. Listen, you and I can't see the spiritual realm. We don't know what's going on up in heaven. I want to give you an interesting thought, and I just thought about this yesterday. And I hope I'm not being heretical here. But I think sometimes instead of, you say, Brother Chad, why do good people go through bad things? Because that's the question that everybody wants to know. You know, if it was a cut and dry, you live life right, nothing bad will ever happen to you, I think there would be more people that would live right, life right. But because bad things do happen to good people, some people are like, well, if it happens to them, why don't I just live the way I want and it doesn't matter anyway? Okay? So if there was that cut and dry, and I understand that, but remember, there is a spiritual realm, and we can't always see that spiritual realm. I think that sometimes instead of looking at a trial as if God is against us, if we are living right, maybe we should look at a trial as a testament that God is using us. Now think about that, because what did God say to Job, or what did God say to Satan? Hast thou considered my servant Job? So for God, allowing Job to go through these trials, he was almost, I hate to say the word proud, but he was almost so proud of Job that he said, yeah, you can throw all that at me, Satan, but have you considered my servant Job? And Satan said, well, you know, you've held a hedge of protection around him. And God said, well, if I remove that hedge of protection, all right, you can go and you can try him. So why did Job go through all that stuff? Well, I think he was a testament to God. He was a trophy of God, if you would. Okay? Maybe it's because God is doing something in the spiritual realm that you don't understand. Now, here's the sad thing. Most people go through a trial, and maybe God allows them to go through a trial, but they buckle in the trial. And honestly, they kind of fail God in that trial. It could be an earthly reason. It could be a heavenly reason. Ultimately, God is God, and I am just one of his creation. Okay? That's the way it works. I brought two cups up here with me this morning. I hope maybe I can use it as an illustration. Isaiah chapter 64, 8. Brother Chad, do you understand all this? No. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 8 says, "But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, thou art our potter, and we all are the work of thy hand." I know these aren't clay. They're probably porcelain or some cheap imitation, okay? Let's go to Romans. Go to Romans chapter number 9. Go to Romans chapter number 9. I want to show you some verses, Romans chapter 9. Get over there. Romans chapter 9, we're going to read a few verses here. Let's start at verse 14. Romans chapter 9, verse 14. "What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God?" Isn't that the question that everybody's asked? Well, God, you're wrong. God, you're unrighteous in doing this. That's not fair. Okay? "God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles." It uses the illustration of Pharaoh. Remember how that when Moses came to Pharaoh, the Bible kept saying, "And God hardened his heart"? Well, there's a few times in there the Bible talks about Pharaoh. Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Okay, it doesn't necessarily say that God hardened his heart. It says Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Okay, we said, "Brother Chad, what? That wasn't fair to Pharaoh. Look at all the things that happened to Pharaoh, and God just it ultimately destroyed him." And then, if you used to read this, and this is where I think some people pull things out of context. Okay, I'm still fired up about that church I was in a couple weeks ago that was preaching that you're either predestined to go to heaven or you're predestined to go to hell. And to read this passage, if you take this out of context, it kind of looks that way, okay? Well, Brother Chad, it says here that, you know, God's going to have mercy on whom he's going to have mercy and compassion on whom he's going to have compassion, and he's going to harden the heart of those he's going to harden. Okay, let's go to another passage, all right? Let's go to Jeremiah. Because we see here in Jeremiah along the same lines, okay? And then I'm going to reference, we're going to go back to Romans, because I want to hit this just so you understand. Jeremiah chapter number 18. I'm sorry, I didn't tell you the chapter, I don't think. Jeremiah chapter number 18. We're going to look at verse number 3. Or let's start at verse number 1. Might as well. Jeremiah 18 verse 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house." Didn't we just hear in Isaiah it mentioned a potter? Okay. And in Romans, we talked about the thing that was formed. Well, that's what a potter does. He forms things with his hands. Okay, so we've got three references here to the same concept. "Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have pronounced..." All right, so let's go back to Romans chapter number 9. Remember, there's people that God has said, "I'm going to show mercy to these people." And there's people that God says, "I'm going to condemn these people." Okay, now, that's what he's talking about right here. "I'm going to show mercy to these people," or "I'm going to condemn this nation. I'm going to pluck them down," all right? "If that nation against whom I have pronounced," verse 8, "turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it. If it do evil in my sight that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them." So listen, God doesn't just leave us and say, "Well, you're just condemned to go to hell." God gives you a choice. If there is no... I taught the young people on Wednesday night. If there is no choice... Why did God give man a choice? If there is no choice, there is no love. I believe that. I've read that in my Bible. If there is no choice, there is no love. If you don't have a choice to love someone, you can't show that you love someone. Does that make sense? You show somebody you love them. You have a choice. I don't have to love somebody. I choose to love somebody. If I'm forced to love God, it's really not love. Because you have to make the choice to do that. Okay? And God gives us a free will. Pharaoh could have let those people go. He could have. God doesn't overpower the free will of man. I don't believe that. Okay? Everyone in this room makes the choice whether you will be saved. "Well, I can't be saved." Yes, you can. Everyone can be, but some will choose not to be. Okay? Now, I just had to clarify that. Let's go back to the Romans chapter 9. I'll go back there. If you want to turn back, you can look at the verse with me. Romans chapter number 9. Verse number 20. "Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, Why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump?" The same lump. Listen, we're all made out of the same junk. Okay? I'm flesh and blood just like you're flesh and blood. Okay? We're all from dust to dust. We're made out of the same stuff. Okay? We all are. We're all descendants from Adam eventually. All right? Noah, if you really, you want to go, whoever you want to go back to. Shem, Ham, I don't think any of you are from Ham. But you're all descendants. Okay? You're all descendants. We're all made out of the same stuff. God's created each one of us. We go to Jeremiah. "Behold, I formed you in the womb." God's formed each and every one of us. That's what's so wrong with abortion. Okay? You're taking that thing that God has created. "Thou shalt not kill." Okay? It's still, whether it's in the womb or outside the womb, it's still a creation of God. Okay? I am a creation of God. But because of that, who is the creator? God. And I don't understand the creator. If I could, he wouldn't be a very big God. Okay? And God is a big God. So I've got two cups here this morning. You know, it would be interesting. I got a red one, and there's all kinds of colors on this one. Okay? But, you know, the insides are red, and let's just say red and white. You know, the cup never says to the one forming it, well, I wish I was a different color. Okay? You know, I'm happy that I'm who I am. I'm happy I'm a Caucasian. That's my skin color. Okay? But if I had a black skin color or a dark skin color, listen, that's who God created them to be. You're not going to change that. Okay? Why do people get mad at God? I've talked to our young people. Listen, accept yourself for who God made you to be. Now, if there's some things that you can change to make yourself better, yes, you should change them. Okay? If you need to stop doing things to make yourself healthier, you should stop doing those things. I'm not talking about that. But who God created, you know, well, this one's fatter than this one. Well, I wish I was skinny and tall. Well, I wish I was short and stocky. Okay, listen. Does that make sense? Why does a, you know, these don't cry out to the maker and say, why does the thing formed say to that which formed it? Why are you using me this? You know, honestly, it doesn't matter what I do with these cups. It doesn't. I could drink out of them. I could take them out to my barn and use them as scoops for dog food. I could take them and I could fill them up with oil. I can do whatever I want to with these cups. They're mine. No, they're not mine. They're church's. So I probably can't do what I want. Although these are just, somebody's left them here at some point. So they're taking up space in the cabinet. Okay. But these never protest. They never say, well, that's not fair. That one gets to sit in your cupboard, and this one gets to sit in the barn. It doesn't matter. Well, Brother Chad, I'm a human being. Yeah. And your status in relation to God is about this cup's status in relation to me. Brother Chad, that's humiliating. That's debasing to the human race. No, if you can understand that, it'll make things go a lot easier for you in life. What happens is this cup wants to take my place for most people. This cup wants to dictate how tall they are, how big around they are, what color they are, what race they are, what gender they are. What's the whole gender thing? It's people trying to be God. That's what it is. Okay? You know, I'm thankful every day. Sorry, ladies. I'm thankful every day that God didn't make me a woman. I'm just being honest with you. But you know what, ladies? You should be thankful every day that God didn't make you a man. Some of you are like, oh yes, I could not stand to live like he does. I've been batching it for 2 days. 2 days. I would say you should see my house. You know, I've been by myself for 2 days, okay? But honestly, when I'm by myself, I'm almost home. Like, I come home to eat and sleep. That's about it. So there's really not much change. I mean, there's like two cups in the sink now, and I think a plate, because I've only eaten like one meal since my wife's been gone. I don't eat a whole lot. So there's like one plate, two cups, and, you know, a knife and a fork. That's the extent of the damage. And there's like two pairs of pants in the laundry and a shirt. That's the extent of the damage that I've done. I've even made my bed every day. I know. Okay, but you know what? My wife, I don't think she doesn't want to be like me. And you know what? I don't want to be like my wife. But you know, there is a satisfaction that comes when you just accept that God created you to be who you are. Okay? Now, it's like I told the young people, hey, listen, if you wake up in the morning, you go look in the mirror, and you got a big old, you know, big old zit right on the side of your face, well, you don't, you need to fix that, okay? You don't, well, that's just the way God made me. No, okay? If your hair's messed up, fix it. Does that make sense? I mean, there are some things that you can do that make yourself better. But we've got this obsession with this in today's society. Well, I'm just, I don't like the way I am. That's who God created you to be. And there's a peace when you just come and accept. And we say, Brother Chad, it wasn't fair to Ezekiel that he lost his wife. Can the thing formed say to that which formed it, why have you formed me thus? Can the piece of clay say to the potter, why have you made me that way? There's different vessels, and each one has different uses, and we have to accept those things. Why do some people lose the people that they love the most? I don't know. Okay? Now, I want you to understand that. Let's look at Ezekiel's reaction. Let me ask you this. What if Ezekiel would not have responded correctly to this time in his life? What would have happened? I'm not saying Ezekiel didn't mourn, and I'm not teaching that you shouldn't go through a mourning process. But God had for Ezekiel a very specific message that he wanted delivered. Let me say this. Sometimes the only way to deliver a unique message is in a unique way. Why? I told you last week I taught a lesson on snapping turtles in the children's church. Okay? Why did you teach that lesson like that? Okay? Because for this reason, and I'm just saying this is why I do it. I want the kids to retain things. Why do you use two cups up here this morning? Because more than likely you'll remember this more than what you remembered last week when I had nothing visual. Okay? Five parents come up to me Sunday night after church, or at church, Sunday night after I taught that, and they said, did you teach children's church this morning? I said, yes. They said, my kids came home and all they could talk about was the two turtles. The two turtles. Okay? You know, sometimes a unique message must be delivered in a unique way. Okay? Why did God have to deliver that message? Okay, let's go back to Ezekiel. We're almost done, I promise. We're going to run out of time. Ezekiel chapter 24. We don't really see an interaction with the people with Ezekiel most of the time. Most of the time it's just Ezekiel's preaching. We don't see a reaction. Verse number 19. And the people said unto me, Ezekiel 24:19. And the people said unto me, wilt thou not tell us what these things are to us, that thou doest so? Hey, this got their attention. You know, I think God sometimes allows good people to go through bad things to get the attention of others. But what if Ezekiel wouldn't have handled this right? What if Ezekiel would not have done what God asked him to do? It would have been just like everybody else. You know, the way Christian handles a trial in life is completely different than the way the world handles a trial in life. And if you handle a trial in life like the world handles a trial in life, how does God get the glory from that? He doesn't. It's just like everybody else. I don't know if the people have been listening up to this point, but because Ezekiel handled this trial the way God wanted him to, it caused them to notice. Christians need to stop having knee-jerk reactions and breakdowns over everything. That's what the world does. They don't have any hope. When things go wrong, it is in these times that we have the opportunity to glorify God and show that there is a difference in the way a Christian handles life. If you have the same reaction that all the world does, how is the world going to know that God's real? If we just give up on life, well, you don't understand. They got a divorce and my life's a wreck now. Okay, bad things happen. And choices were made. But we've got young people that just throw away everything because of one bad situation in life. And God does not get the glory from that. Okay? What if Job would have just cracked under the pressure? and said, well, God, what did his wife ask him to do? Curse God and die. And Job, what if Job would have been like, all right, God, you're not God. If you really were God, you never would have let this happen. That's what a lot of people say. If you were really God, you never would have let this happen. He would have cursed God. And what would have God said to Satan? Satan would have come back and said, see, told you. What if God's allowing you to go through something so that God can receive the glory? Ultimately, that's what this is all about. Let me ask you this. What chapter are we in? This is just a side note. What chapter are we in? 24. Do you know how many chapters are in Ezekiel? 48. What if at this time in Ezekiel's ministry, Ezekiel buckled and said, God, that's not fair. That's not right. I don't think there'd be 48. Ezekiel never would have had the vision of the Valley of Dry Bones. Ezekiel never would have been able, and we'll see this later, be able to talk about the restoration of the nation of Israel. Up to this point, it's pretty much been, if you'll agree with me, it's pretty much been, bless God, you're all going to die. Okay? Judgment. But later on, there's a restoration. Ezekiel, if he would have buckled at chapter 24, there wouldn't be a chapter 48. And we've got Christians that buckle, that have the midlife crisis, and they buckle, and then God can't use them the rest of their life. Now, thankfully, the group in here, you've served God a long time. Okay? It comes back to our reactions. It's sad to say that God might have had to find someone else if Ezekiel would have buckled. Another sad thing is that the message that God wanted to be delivered would have been wasted. Now, I want you to get this, and then we'll be done. Everybody wants to talk about wasted life. Brother Chad, don't you ever feel like you're wasting your life? Well, that was such a waste. Why did that 3-year-old boy have to die? That's such a waste of life. You know, and I know the situation somewhat. That family glorified God. I believe so. They glorified God in that. They didn't blame God. They accepted it. Okay? The thing about it is, what is really a wasted life is when God sends a trial that's supposed to bring him glory and we waste it. That's a wasted life. That's a wasted life. Ultimately, we got to be done. Everybody's coming in. Ultimately, we are to bring recognition and honor to God. Verse number 24. And when this cometh, ye shall know that I am God. Verse 27. And they shall know that I am the Lord. Ultimately, you know what? God allows us to go through things is so that we can bring honor and glory to God. It's not about the cup. It's about the Creator. Okay? It's not about me. It's about Him. And we have to understand that you don't understand, but you need to accept it. And you need to strive in every way possible to bring honor and glory to God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity. Pray that you bless the morning service. Thank you for these folks. Lord, a lot of folks in here have gone through these things. Maybe not just like Ezekiel, some like Ezekiel. But Lord, I pray that every area of our life that we would strive to bring honor and glory to you, that you wouldn't be ashamed of us, you would be glad that you've took the time to invest in us. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.